welcome. This is Red Eyes Radio, the one and only outlet from Northern Europe that examines and questions all aspects of our downward spiraling world. We appeal to sanity in order to change the trajectory. My name is Henrik Palmgren. I'm your host. RedEyesCreations.com and RedEyesMembers.com is our websites. We are here to discuss, inform, and highlight all the things you didn't know about so we can do something about it. Today we have another very important hour for you guys. We are going to talk with street artist Don Park from Sweden. He was recently arrested and hauled off against his will and prosecuted for, quote, offensive art, unquote. Later, he was arrested again for actually reposting a news story that was written about him and what happened to him, his case, on his blog. The police showed up at his door and dragged him away. And wait until you hear regarding what it was about and for what reason. This is a tremendous insight into the climate in Sweden that you had no idea about. The crumbling society, it's absolutely absurd. When we move into next year here, we are going to go into complete tyrannical mode where Swedish citizens, Swedish people, I should say, can be prosecuting for criticizing immigration, for criticizing immigrants, and or criticizing the political power in Sweden. It's our duty not only to talk about this, but to expose it for the utter and complete suicide that it is of Western values. Now, in this program, Don Park's English is a little bit rusty, but this is an extremely important topic, and I urge everyone to stay with us and listen to and through this interview. And a bit later in it as well, we're going to talk with Henrik Rundqvist, the gallery owner that is going to exhibit Don's art here a little bit later in July. And please listen to what has happened to him, his treatment, and the threats that he's received for daring to do what he's doing and give room to the kind of art that Don Park, Lars Vilks, and a number of others have done for the sake of basically pushing the boundaries a bit further and keeping the doors of freedom of expression and freedom of speech from completely slamming shut. I mean, if it wasn't for some of these brave men and women taking some of the hits and keeping it on this level still, we'd be in a complete locked down society at this stage. But they are trying to get us there. They are trying to silence any kind of criticism of anything that you can imagine. There's no greater time to focus on this particular topic. This is a duty. This is scary. This is utter, complete absurdity. Just listen and weep when you realize what has happened to this country, this culture, this heritage, the people that used to be here. Absolutely absurd. Hey, Dan, how's it going today? Thank you for coming on the program with us. It's a delight to talk with you, of course, under kind of weird circumstances, but nonetheless, thank you for taking the time talking with us today.
No problems.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit first before we dive into everything that's happened to you in the last, I guess, couple of months? You can clear that up if it goes back further than that. But how long you've been doing your street art, Dan, and how many years you've been into this now?
I started in 1988, so I have done street art a very long time. But it has been more and more late times.
And have you always kind of done the type of art that you do today, or has it evolved and changed over the years?
No, I have just done the same thing against political correctness and that type of area.
Exactly, which is, of course, what we're here to talk about today, because your story is quite extraordinary. I learned about it a couple of months ago, I believe, and in terms of some of the art that you've done. And why don't you just kind of give us the story of what happened? When did the authorities drag you into the picture in to some extent? Have people been watching what you've done for a long time, or did this just kind of blow out here in the last couple of months or so?
Yeah, I think it was first in 2011 I've been sentenced to a trial against a hets mot folkgrupp. And that was another posters. Some a runaway nigger slave, and then I get villkorligt, I don't know what is on English, but So
let me translate that a little bit for people as well. Basically, you were judged for a hate crime. You were prosecuted for that, I guess. Then were you dragged in legally into that situation?
Yeah, that was in 2011, and I get sentence of the Beater.
You got a fine for that, in other words.
Exactly.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Who was it that prosecuted you? Who dragged you into that? I guess someone saw your art on the street and said, no, we can't tolerate this. So do you know who that was?
I don't know the name of the prosecutor, but I get caught by the police when I glue it up, the affiche, so in Lund. So
all right.
They have proof, directly proof there.
So have you always been around in Malmö doing the art, or have you been in other parts of Sweden as well, Denmark?
Not too much in Denmark, but sometimes in Stockholm and other countries. I am from Umeå, so then I'm doing the street art in Umeå. So. But no times, just in Malmö most.
Now, tell us a little bit about the art here, obviously, because people have been really angry with you because of the things you've done, because of the specific imagery that you've used, etc. There's a number of things that are incredibly sensitive here. I think that this has been, of course, even more exaggerated and blown up because of the fact that we happen to be in, politically correct Sweden in that regard. But what is some of the purpose of your art? What do you seek to convey to people, Dan?
I mean, just to ask, I think people should see on things on a different way and even laugh at it. Because most of my posters, I think self is very funny. The humor is in it, I think. So I think people should laugh and think a little.
And what is the reaction generally that you've been getting?
Yeah, some people laugh, some people don't laugh.
Right, exactly. That's kind of how it is. Now, let me just run through this a bit for people as well. I mean, you've been the recent spur here. You were jailed, correct?
Yeah, that was no, I accepted. It was in March. I will be on trial for three posters, and then I get three months jail.
3 months.
Yeah. 3 months, okay. And then 2 days after, I do a blog in leg about the trial, and then I show them the posters again. Then I got caught and hectored. I don't know what's in English now.
You got prosecuted.
Exactly. And then I get 1 month more. So I have sitting 1 month now, so I'm waiting for 3 months.
So let me clarify that to people here. You basically, as far as I understood the story here, according to the prosecutor, your art then was an encouragement, right, towards violence against black people, etc. Of course, you have a very different explanation to this. As you said, it's a satirical presentation of reality because of the fact that it's meant to be contrary to actually, the environment and climate that we do see in Sweden, right? So you had one article or one poster, for example, that said Afrophobes, right? So what was the point with that poster, Dan?
That was it was attack on a bridge here in Malmö, and then Afro-Swedish Bon go out and say it was a racist attack from whites, and then 2 days later, then it was not white to have attacked the black man. It was some Kurds, Arabic Kurds, who have done it. And then the media don't write about it. Total darkness.
Well, exactly. They never talk about ethnicity in the media. That's one of the big problems, of course. So there was this specific case. There was the poster was hung up on a bridge. And then, of course, as you said, the Association for Africans spoke out about this. And then what happened is that you, of course, were dragged into this matter. And you posted, as I just want to clarify that to our audience as well, you republished the one of the articles, I think, from Dispatch International that actually talked about this case. And it was at that stage, this is you posted that on your private blog, correct?
Yes.
Wow. And so you, they came, what happened? Tell us what happened there. Did they come to your, I don't know if you're living with somebody, if they came to your apartment, your house, and knocked on your door and dragged you. Tell us about what happened there.
Yeah, I lived in my ex-girlfriend's apartment. She was not home then, but I'm sitting on the toilet and it's knocking on the door. And then when I open, it's two men busting in, and I get
handcuffs.
Handcuffs, exactly. And they say it was the police. Then I ask why do you take me? But they don't say it, . So
they didn't declare to you why you're being arrested, even?
They take me to the police station, and then after 4 hours, they tell me that I was. Then they tell me what it was about. It was about my blog in there.
Wow. Have you heard of any other case like this where people have been, just for reposting an article, being dragged into prison by Swedish police officers?
No, I have not. Not even in hate crimes, No.
Right.
Not in Sweden anywhere.
So you're really, you're ahead of the curve here, we could say.
It's just that I get häktad också, Then in 3 days, then I was häktad. Then in the trial, and then after the trial, I was häktad again. So.
That means detained, by the way, for those who don't know. You were detained, several times. And how long in total did you spend in prison for this post that you did?
1 month. 1 month.
1 month. Oh my God. All right. Okay. We have had several, developments that have occurred after this. I think that we have one prosecutor, getting some of this information from Dispatch International as well. Magnus Pettersson, that actually asked the court to force you to undergo a psychiatric examination as well. Has this happened?
No, the court said it was not necessary. No.
So they overruled that and threw that out. Is there anything else that seems to allude that you're still in trouble in regards to this? Do you fear that the police will come around and kick in your door at any moment again?
No, I don't think so. I don't live anywhere now. I don't. They can't find me.
is that a tactic that you've adopted because of the fact that you're afraid of continuing with your art?
No, I'm not afraid. It's just I don't care. It's no problem for me if they take me again. I don't.
Right.
We don't have the death sentence in Sweden, so. It's okay, and Swedish prison, I think they are very good, so no problem.
Exactly. It's a good place to stay for a little bit if you don't have a place, right? So. All right. So let's just talk a little bit about not only political correctness, of course, but how you view issues of racism within Sweden. And I think one of the posters that you did do, one of the art posters that you did, was to basically stress the very fact that Sweden actually is a very tolerant country. There aren't a lot of hate crimes against people of other races than those who are native to Sweden. Is that how you perceive it?
Yeah, that's I think it's correct. I mean, KKK don't exist in Sweden, I think, but they try to say it's KKK everywhere, but I have not seen them. So
what do you make of all these articles we read, not only from within Swedish media, of course, but internationally now, where they basically talk about the rise of neo-Nazi groups all over Europe and Sweden is struggling very, very difficult because all these crazy loony nationalists that are running around and hating everybody. Is that something that you see?
No, I haven't seen that thing. It's false flag. We have some type of Nazi-phobia here. I don't see any Nazis anywhere. And the nationalists who exist, they are... I think they don't do any harm at all, I think. It's not much violence again from that side.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's the left wing who use violence, I think.
Right. We have a little bit of a disturbance in the back there, but I guess you're in an art gallery now, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's right. Okay. Well, we're going to give out some details of that later, by the way, where people can go and see some of your art in Malmö, in southern Sweden, if they want to do that. But so, how do you tackle this idea of political correctness? I mean, if you've been doing this since 80s, late 80s, and it's just gotten kind of a sliding scale towards the worse in Sweden regards to this environment, how do you feel that, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, all these things, how are they in Sweden, would you say? And how do you feel as an artist not being able to, you know, express yourself and continue with your art without being fear, being dragged into prison again, basically?
I think the freedom of speech, I mean, it has been worse and worse year after year. Before, you can do things, but now you can't do the same things. I think it has been worse again with that. So everything they say is racist nowadays.
I see what you're saying. So how do we tackle this issue, do you think? I mean, well, is there any way, do you think that people should speak up more about this and try to defocus from the issue that everything is so centrally oriented around these things now, that everyone is, they're offended by whatever you do, they're hurt in some way, people can get imprisoned, obviously. I think after December as well in Sweden, now going over to 2015, I read a couple of articles online that detail this, and they seem to be reputable sources as well, and they actually stated that you can be prosecuted for the very fact if you offend certain people, if some, you know, kind of go after you in that. It's not only in regards to being critical of, for example, mass immigration, but it's also on issues of actually expressing anger towards the people in power. In your view, is Sweden a police state where thought crime is a reality, like we saw out of, you know, George Orwell's 1984? What can we compare it to, do you think, today?
Sweden, I don't know. Police state, I mean, police, they follow what the politicians say, so they're just doing their work. So the problem is the politicians who made the laws and, everything. And the media, political correctness media,
Right. Tell us more about the media in Sweden, how you view that. We've talked, Dan, many times before on this program about this issue. We've had people like Ingrid Karlqvist with us from Dispatch International, but many other papers and authors as well, talking about this very problematic issue, where basically the freedom to debate the issues that we are now facing in Sweden are basically non-existent. We're looking at a scenario where there are very much a valid level of criticism against what's happening to the country, but since we're not being allowed to discuss it, I think that that's actually where the real problem begins, because the more and more they try to put the lid on this particular issue, I believe anyway, the worse and worse it's going to get. Would you share that sentiment?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think, yeah. Some things you can't discuss in Sweden, then you are a racist and a hate crime. You can go on the internet and read another place, like AllPixlet and that kind of media will write about it, but then it's the political correctness media say that that's a hate crime sites and that type of it. So,
right. Yeah. So how do you think people should perceive all of this that's happening in that regard? I mean, are we talking about, should people kind of view this in a different way? I mean, if we specifically talk more about your art, why do you think that it is that people get so offended and riled up about it? I mean, it's just you're doing it to show the flip side and the absurdity of everything that we're seeing in the world. The sensitivity issue alone has to do with something, right? It has to be based in the point that you have a point to it. Otherwise, if you didn't, right, why would people even bother about it? Why would they even focus on it as an issue? That would just kind of laugh it off and say, this guy is crazy. But clearly, they need to attempt to try to put you in jail for voicing these opinions.
That's correct. I mean, if they don't just laugh about it, then it helps. So I think people should do that instead of jailing people for what they say.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But I think all the different Swedish Verbund and anti-racist things, I think they must see racism everywhere, or else they don't get any money from the state.
Right. Exactly. Good point. Now, how is it on the flip side of this, making fun of, Swedes, native Swedes? Is this something you see, and do you see that that's something that's absolutely all okay? When I look at the media and even the entertainment in Sweden, that seems to be an okay target. It's okay to do that, but if you try to do it the opposite side, it's a no fly. It's a no go.
Oh, that's correct. They don't have any hets mot folk up against Swedes and whites. It's only some people who can be hetsed against.
And that's just agitation against a specific group of people, basically. That's what you're saying.
And then even in religion, you can joke about Christianity and that, but if you say something about Islam, then you... then you get hanged in media.
You get hanged in the media, that's right, exactly. So we have these kind of approved targets, if you will, and an immense double standard. Now, I think that there should be more people like you who dare to do this, just to actually try to break down, break the ice a little bit of this particular issue, because people are so immensely afraid of this. And again, it's just I think you can look at the art that you're doing in any way possible, and I think everyone is entitled to their opinion about that. They can look at it and say, well, that's just disgusting, but why do you think it has to go to this extent that it does, that we have to silence people in this capacity and jail people for it? I mean, where is this going to end if it gets worse, do you think? I mean, are you afraid, because there was talk about forcefully having you undergo psychiatric examination, basically so that they can, if they would want to, declare you clinically insane because you don't agree with the official state line policy when it comes to the issues of racism in Sweden, mass immigration, etc. That's the reason I see that they were attempting to do this and put you in prison as well. Are you afraid of that? That might be something that is going to happen in Sweden in the future?
I think it's going to get worse, that's the thing, because people don't do something about it. I mean, the Swedish Democrat in Sweden is a political part, but they are hated, of the political correctness media and that type of shit. But I don't think...
Well, definitely. But at the same time, as you said, we have an alternative media, one that's actually shining a light on the flip side of this coin, and it seems to be a pull towards that too. These online papers are growing for the obvious fact that the mainstream media and the political correctness in the country is so restricted in that regard. So, are you positive over changes and the fact that more and more people and more Swedes are beginning to see this? For example, since you've been a spearheading victim in this capacity, have you noticed that more and more people have come and talked with you about it and maybe even expressed support for your right to express this, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, etc.?
There were some people have done it. Maybe the galleries, the drunkest, and the drunkest have done it. So, and some other people just too. But but I think, as people are so afraid, to be called racist, so they choose to not say anything, I think. So that, I think, is a problem.
So what do you think people should do?
Yeah. Do posters like me.
Right. Well, that's good, isn't it? No, but it's more and more people there. Would you say then that the people, because of they're afraid of being called a name or a word, basically, and therefore they are self-censoring themselves? I see that as a very dangerous thing when you don't even you know, when you enter into that relationship with yourself, where you refuse to talk about certain things because you're afraid of what someone else is going to say about you.
Oh, I think it's sad. It's a sad thing that trousers, you know, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. Now, tell us just a little bit more about some of the different art that you've done, and are you going to continue on this trail? Do you feel that this is something that you want to try to make people understand, to see the opposite side to this and see the flip side? So are you going to continue and push forward and being bold and brave in the art that you do?
Yeah, I sure do the same thing I do now, listen, so that's no problem. I mean, I'm not afraid to go to Yale again, I think. So, I think I do posters again about things that happen, so that's the things I do, so.
Definitely. Now, what can you say? I mean, we've been talking about the one-sidedness of the media and also the left-wing ownership, I guess, of basically all the state-owned press in Sweden. Since we have government-subsidized media and press, they will never bite the hand that feeds them. Therefore, to get a somewhat of a balanced, more balanced view, you will have to go to those sources who are not government-funded, if you will. But what do you think it would take to help to balance the media a little bit in a country like Sweden, where things are so bad at this level? Is this something that you see could ever happen in Sweden? Do you encourage people to like start their own, you know, papers, or if it's online or you know, printed, whatever, to try to bring a different view to the Swedes?
Yeah, that should be fine, but I think it maybe cost a lot of money to do papers, but it's on the internet, and then you can do some write things and that type. It not cost so much. So it should be okay if people do that.
Definitely. When did you first get dragged into this? How many? When did this start again? Just tell that for us.
I think it was in 2011 in Lund. Then I get caught.
And was that when you were out, you know, putting up the posters, or how did they find you?
Oh, yeah, I'm putting up the posters. That's correct. Earlier in Umeå, in the 80s, then I've been caught, but then I just get to pay money to it, with olaga försäljning, I say, just for, not for really.
Yeah, that was because you were actually hanging the posters, not what was on the posters, correct?
Exactly.
All right, okay, I see. So, is there anything else you can say about how you've been treated, how you think that these people in power think? I mean, how do you view the power in Sweden? The politicians, the prosecutors, the law system. Is there anything you can say about them in terms of how they view you and so, you know, the things that you do?
I think they're totally insane. I mean, I just have do posters. I mean, I have not killed anyone or beaten up anyone, so I mean, it's just art, so I don't think it's totally insane. They are after me for that, I think.
And you do not encourage any violence? You're not trying to entice any violence, as far as I'm concerned? I haven't seen any of that on your art. I haven't seen all of it, of course. I've looked at some of it, and of course it can be, you know, you raise your eyebrows when you see some of it, for sure. But since you, as it is at this stage, as you know, you're doing it for the contradictory message within it, right? So tell us about some of the other motifs that you had, some of the common themes that you kind of put into your art.
Yeah, it had been much about Islam and that type of things. But even earlier I have posters with, you know, the school massacre and that type in USA, so that's, I have often. And murder, mass murder, that type of thing. So I think,
Definitely, Dan. Now, let me ask you this. Are you afraid that you're going to have something issued, you know, fatwa or something issued against you in the likes of, who do we have there? We have Lars Vilks, right, the other artist in Sweden who've been also critical of Islam. There are a couple of other ones as well. I forget the other gentleman's name now, but it's basically you guys who are daring to criticize it in this way. Have you gotten any violence, you know, threats of violence against yourself?
Not from the Muslims. I think they don't know me. They don't know I exist, and they don't know what I'm doing. So the only violence is from the left-wing extremists. I don't afraid again about that. And I thought, well, I don't think it's going to happen.
Right. Well, we had a couple of cases, I guess, where some people were stabbed with knives and stuff like that. There's been a couple of trials in Sweden because of, I think it was during a national demonstration or something like that, and one of the demonstrator got stabbed in the back by one of these revolutionary left guys. Are you afraid that something like that's going to happen to you? I'm not trying to issue, you know, some kind of fear tactic over here in any degree, but the fact is that this is just a reality in Sweden, where you, if you express yourself in that regard or demonstrate or have your opinion, you might actually face violence, you know, issued against you. So are you afraid of that?
Okay, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid about it, but I think it could happen, and that I know. But I'm not going around and being afraid, and then you can go outside. So.
Right, yeah. Now, do you feel that you have to sneak around when you put? So tell us just a little bit about that. Do you like multiple of the same posters and you print them up in a number of places and then you just kind of go and tape them or glue them up out in the streets, or how do you distribute the art?
Yeah, I do 25, 30 X, and then I glue it up on the street, the L scope, you could say. And I do it on the tour, in the middle of the day, like, so it's much people out. So
right, you don't sneak around in the night trying to do this.
Then the police or the left wing can see me in the night. It's better than it's much people out. So
right, exactly. Yeah, well, that's a smart tactic, I guess. Yeah. So what's next for you here? What are you looking at doing next here, Dan?
Next for you, I mean, in my street tour or something. I think I should do something about the election, maybe, and do something about it. I don't know exactly what I should do, but it's something.
Yeah, there's a 2014 election coming up here in Sweden. So how do you think that election is going to go? I mean, some of the national parties have gained more and more notoriety and more people are coming to them. Do you see that as a positive aspect?
Yeah, maybe in the rest of Europe. I mean, I have some different nationalist party, but maybe Swedish Democrats even go in, so I don't know.
All right, we'll have to see. Hey, by the way, I wanted to give out another website for you guys as well, because you do have an exhibit. When was it again?
July 5th.
July 5th.
Yeah.
And the website where people can go to kind of check that out a little bit more, if they are in the vicinity of Malmö, southern Sweden, is runqvist.se. And I can spell that for you guys, because we have that the funny O with two dots over it, and we can't do that online. So I'll have to give it to you like this, RONNQUIST. So it's ronquist.com. We will have that link up, by the way, on our website as well, so you can click through there from there. So how much art are you exhibiting there? How much stuff do you have? Is it a full-packed house, or what are we looking at there?
It's a full-packed house. It's about 25 posters, which are printed in a small series. Everyone is signed and numbered by Don Park. And the opening will be between 12 and 3 on Saturday the 5th. And then it will be ongoing for 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. And it's the first premier exhibition for Don Park in a gallery. It's going into the fine rooms now.
And this is the voice we're hearing here is of Henrik Rundqvist, by the way, the owner of the gallery. Tell us a little bit, you Henrik, about the art and what you think about it. Why do you want to support it?
It's very simple. It's about freedom of speech, freedom of art, and that we live in a democracy, as I understand it, called Sweden. And since I also work with Lars Vilks, and I also, for example, in December, I will have a
feminine blah 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 party woman showing her paintings. And I think it's very, very important to show as an open room, my gallery, that I can show. My last exhibition was a guy from Iran. Right now I have Lars Vilks. In July I will have Dawn Park. It's an open room. Everybody is welcome. Everybody can come here. And I want to show different art. And I don't like the idea of quietening artists, because they're not perfect for the Swedish society. They don't do landscape paintings, and so everybody's allowed to show their art. It's very, 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 very important.
Exactly, very good point, Henrik. Let me continue to ask you a few more questions there. So you cover all kinds of different types of art from various people all across the political spectrum, all across from various places in the world. So it's not per se that you maybe agree with maybe you do, but it's more about encouraging the fact that this is being silenced, and therefore you feel a need and a responsibility to actually give it some attention and place and space. Is that correct?
Yes. And what Dawn Park does is he makes to say he makes fun is a wrong word, but he made a poster of me, my dog, and Lars Vilks last year, who was on this elskåp outside the gallery, this where we have the electricity, where he wrote Muhammad in the forehead of my small white dog. And I only laughed, because it was really great. And Dawn Park is allowed as an artist to do whatever he likes to. Well, he shouldn't be a criminal, and he isn't. But he is allowed to do what he does. And all other artists are too. They are allowed to have their freedom of art. But in some ways it feels like the Swedish politicians, and so they try to strangle this and stop this.
Absolutely, yeah. It's Soviet tactics, I would say. It's very very tyrannical. It's very, it's turning into a regime which I'm surprised that people don't see the perception that people have of fascism that's approaching now in Sweden, right?
Yes, and when we were in Denmark now on Tuesday, and Dawn told about his art project, you can call it, and I talked about my role as an art gallery, and Lars Vilks told about it, and the paper, the Swedish paper Dispatch International, the Swedish and Danish, talked about it, and a Danish guy talked about it. The Danish people, they just opened their mouths and like, what is this? Is this really happening? You must be kidding with us.
Yeah.
So we have a big problem in Sweden right now.
We do.
And they try to silence us, but it will never work.
What do you think the response to this is going to be? Is it going to be more and more like the type of thing that Dawn Park is doing and yourself?
I think they want to stop us, but they can't do it. And for example, now in Copenhagen Tuesday, there were Danish newspapers, Danish news. It was Norwegian newspapers, but no one from Sweden, except the photographer Roger from the Swedish paper Dispatch International. Mm. They try to silence us, but they will never do it. That's my idea.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how do you view Swedish, with the political correctness, how the whole environment of this, how this is transforming our society? Some people think it's great and it's good. How do you view this?
I could start by viewing it by when I went out with that I should exhibit Lars Vilks last year, three of my best friends in Malmö just left me. And then when I went out with it, I was supposed that I'm going to show Lars Don Park now on the 5th of July. What happened then was that someone hacked my email 12 hours later.
Hmm.
They tried to stop us, but they will never stop us.
Are you afraid that the legal system now, after, you know, when we go into 2015, that people can be prosecuted for basically offending somebody? And this, of course, is very much a law that is up for interpretation, because, of course, anybody can be offended by anything, right? So if this goes far enough, what kind of environment do you think that will create in Sweden if they manage to pull this off, if more and more people don't speak up about it? It would basically mean that people like you and Don would actually, you know, I don't know if they necessarily at first would be jailed or going to prison, but definitely, you know, fines at an increasing rate, etc., to try to shut you guys up. That's not a pretty pleasant environment to live in.
I think they try to do their best to do that, but they will never do it because we are stronger than them. Because we talk about the freedom of speech, freedom of art, and the democracy in Sweden. They can't stop us. But I know many people here, friends in Malmö specifically, but also in other places of Sweden, who are talking about moving to Denmark or moving to the US or moving to Australia or moving to Norway or Finland or Japan because people are tired of Sweden.
Yeah. That's horrible though, right? That they're giving up on their own country.
And I was in Stockholm a week ago and actually talked to a friend of mine about maybe finding some place to have a gallery in Stockholm and to live in Stockholm, because I'm tired of this town, Malmö.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And every evening when I go home, for example this evening, I never walk. I always take a cab.
Why?
I'm afraid to walk with my small white dog because people could harass me on the way home. They could rob me, they could hit me, whatever. I can never go to bars and nightclubs in Malmö after 7 o'clock or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because since I work with Don Park and Lars Vilks and it's a feminine woman and so, people know my face, so I can't go out.
Have you been threatened?
Yes, I have.
Wow. So,
for example, when I came home from Stockholm in December after an exhibition in Stockholm, someone had written "Allah" on my door at home. Someone had put 6 stones in my post box. 6 stones means some kind of they hate you in the Islamic world. People are calling me, they are calling on my door, they put letters on my door, and still I have a fake address, a fake name, but they have found me anyway.
Wow. Well, that's not an encouraging development, of course. What would you want to say to those who have a blind spot to the very fact that Swedish culture and heritage is being deconstructed and it's being challenged and threatened when we talk about things like our democracy, freedom of speech, etc., because of this fact that people have a fanatical, if not hysterical, viewpoint that whenever you criticize something which goes against their political correctness, they view you as a racist, as a neo-Nazi, as a, you know, a violent, hateful person. What have you, for example, the friends you mentioned that have left you, what would you want to say to those people? Who kind of have this blind spot and don't realize that there is, you know, credibility and also a reasoning behind the very fact that we're criticizing what's happening.
They are just feared and scared of the truth.
Yeah.
They are feared. They have a fear because they don't want to see the truth, what's happening in Sweden right now.
And what if this continues? How bad do you think it can get in a country like Sweden if this just continues unchallenged?
Oh, I can't say that, but it feels like we're going to a society, which is like a combination of Nazi Germany and former USSR.
Yeah, but a flip side version of it, right? And is it in the religious context primarily, do you think? I mean, is it just Islam, or are there other components to this, Henrik?
There are other components also, but I can't say that directly, but of course we have a kind of Islamic problem. But the big problem is that people are so feared of what the Swedish politicians say that they just keep quiet and want to stay in their role as the minister or whatever it is. So and they try to silence Don Park, they try to silence other artists, they try to silence me. But then we have guys like you, Red Ice Radio, who publish this, and Norwegian papers and magazines, Danish papers, so we will never give up, I think.
Yeah.
I think I can say from Don's point of view also that you will never give up. Exactly, says.
Yeah, good. Yeah, feel free to join in here, Don, as well, of course, if you have more to add to this. But yeah, I guess I just want to continue to examine this very idea as well, that from my point of view, I see a contradiction in terms of the favoritism that I see for you know, Islam, one of the Abrahamic religions, the very fact that you have an allegiance between left-wing leaning politics and Islam, which I see very much as a contradiction when you begin to examine some of the tenets and the components within it. Would you agree with that, Henrik?
Yes, and that's very, very strange, specifically with the Swedish feminist women.
Yes.
Who are pro-Islam. They should be anti-Islam, but they are pro.
Why is that, do you think?
I talked to a guy this morning. We had a chat, and he lives in the U.S., and he said that because it's kind of like bullying. The Swedish men, we are very, could you say, like, weak. We are very mellow. So they can bully us. But the Islamic men, they are too strong to bully. So they let them go and have their talk about women and the discrimination about women and everything. So they bully us instead.
I would say it has very much to do with the religious conviction of the fact that you are in the right, that your position is the correct one, therefore whatever someone else says to you, you can't be challenged. I mean, this is why people have used religion for thousands of years to manipulate and control people, because it gives them this almost supernatural purpose to an extent. And I would say that the type of education that we get in Sweden, small Swedish boys and girls for that matter, learn very much about moral relativism. It's not really, you know, you can't really have a strong position whatsoever. You can't really, you know, make up your mind about something. It's so wavery, even to the point that I've seen that people are actually attracted within Sweden to Islam, because it actually brings some level of stability, and it exuberates a kind of a powerful strongness in its dedication, which is, of course, from my point of view, delusional, like all Abrahamic religions are. But the men aren't actually stronger under Islam. They're actually weaker. That's why they're attracted to a very strong, you know, fascist-like faith. This is a known psychological contradiction. I mean, Swedish men have a tradition of actually standing outside of this kind of faith for a longer period. And, you know, personally, I'm not saying that the atheistic scientificism that we're, you know, brought up in Sweden is really any better. This is also a faith, actually. But it's our, you know, politically correct, moral, pseudo-neutral upbringing that shapes us in this way. This is what is no good. This is actually damaging young children. Again, contradiction perhaps, but this is what's happening. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Look at what's happening right now. So at some stage here, you have to start taking a stand against something. You have to develop a value system that actually has some kind of resistance and some kind of value judgment here.
Well, in some ways, one of the things is that we bow from them in some ways. And we have this really big problem today with the head chief of the Swedish church today. Her name is Jacqueline something. And she actually believes that we Swedes, Christian people, can live side to side with the Islamic people.
Is that naive?
Totally naive. Because we can do it, but they can't do it.
Yeah.
So when I heard this in September last year, I left the Swedish church immediately.
Did you used to be a Christian?
Yeah, I was that for about 8 months.
Right. Right.
Because the priest was so beautiful when I was supposed to join the Swedish church, so I had to. He was a really good-looking woman.
Right, right, exactly. So people will have to dig down real damn deep into their own culture and heritage in all Scandinavian countries at this point and actually find and connect with some of the ancient power centers that we do have there. Because we do have them. We have had thousands of years of very powerful, strong traditions, and people better connect with that. We used to have some of the most powerful people in Europe at one point, not only the Vikings, but those who came before them as well. And this is something that still is there. The gods of this age are still there. The traditions are still there. Everything is still there. And we better reach down real deep and try to anchor ourselves in some kind of a tradition, in some kind of veneration for our ancestors, for our heritage, where we come from. Otherwise, we'll lose ourselves. We'll be consumed. And it might be too late at that point. But it's not going to be. It's going to be good. We've begun talking about Norse mythology, also through Vikings and all of that good stuff that we have to pull from wisdom from our own culture and heritage and people. And that's what needs to come out at this time. That's why we've done so many programs on it and going to continue to highlight these aspects. It's very, very important. I hope you realize this, and I hope everyone realizes this out there, wherever you are in the world, listening to this, that it's about, you know, reconnecting with your culture and your heritage, wherever you are, as a safe hold against where the elite, corrupt, globalist leadership is taking us at this time. All right. Well, let's switch over to Dawn at this point, then. I know you need to go, Henrik. So
let's get back to Dawn Park, and I thank you for talking to you, and we can keep in contact. Here comes Dawn.
Thank you. Thank you, Henrik, for your time. Appreciate it. All right, Dawn. What do you think about the discussion we've had here so far, if you listened in? Anything to add to the things we've talked about? How we can live together, all of us in Sweden? Is that a naive position when we have conflicting religious ideas?
Yeah, I think it's a naive idea. I mean, everyone being cranked all the time, so...
That means offended, by the way.
I don't think it's real. No, I think it's naive, of course.
It is. So, is there anything else you'd like to leave us with, Dan, before we wrap things up for this time, in terms of something people can do, what they should dare to do, dare to speak up? I mean, it's vital at this point that we actually begin to speak up about this stuff before it gets too late, before it gets out of hand. It's just horrible to witness what is happening. People have to wake up. They have to realize how this is being used against them, how this is being used to silence, you know, critique of this. I mean, this is the narrative of our times, and we're being constantly indoctrinated in the media and education and whatever else that we're not allowed to criticize. But at some stage here, we just have to ignore all that and just begin speaking out. But Dawn, is there any wise words of wisdom and courage that you can give to people? I mean, how do you stand it? How do you persevere in terms of the criticism that you're getting? Is it difficult?
No, I think for me it's no problems. I mean, I get attention, so that's okay for me. But I think they say art should be provocative, but when it is real provocation, then it's not okay. So I think the hypocrites think that's it.
Yeah, definitely.
The art world is hypocritic, I think.
Very much so. Very one-sided, just as the media, the news coverage.
Exactly. Oh, that's hypocritic too.
Exactly. All right. Well, very good talking with you, Don Parks, And we are going to have some links up here, of course, where people can check out some of the galleries and everything else. And yeah, I think we should wrap up for that note. You're very brave, Don. So please carry on what you're doing. Don't get your head down. Just keep it up. Keep what you're doing, because I think it's important to Swedish democracy, freedom of speech, and everything else. So good job, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you yourselves.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's another angle to your socialist utopia right there, being consumed by a religion which is fundamentally diametrically opposed to the ideals that we've had in Sweden for a couple of hundred years now. And the willingness to sell this out and to give up and turn your back on it has just been an extraordinary process to witness and to see. And I hope that everyone who is listening to this, who can actually understand what is happening, who can see not only the conspiracy behind this, but the very factor that there are people in power who are ensuring that this is continuing and being allowed, despite their naiveness and their pathological altruism, do not understand the conflicts that will arise because of our decisions and what we're doing here. And I hope that you will stand up and speak up for the continuation of Sweden as we know it, and continue to speak for freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Otherwise, there's not much to hold on to, is there? What else is that you're going to have left? You're going to live in a dictatorial, tyrannical system with a large percentile of the population that are going to have a religion which is going to be diametrically opposed to the freedom that you're going to try to attempt to attain. Feminists in the country? When are you going to wake up? Journalists in the country? When are you going to wake up? And you alt-truthers and people who are looking into conspiracy and these kinds of things, when are you going to wake up and realize what actually is going on in Europe, in the West, and in all these countries? And also, of course, who is behind it? Because it's not only Islam. That is just one branch of it. We have lefties, socialists, communists, cultural Marxists, and your general run-of-the-mill internationalist. And they're all piggybacking on whatever group they can at whatever moment to achieve their goals towards destroying Western society, destroy nations, destroy people, destroy culture, destroy heritage, destroy the free market, etc. This is what they do to work towards their goal. But there's more than that. There's also the Jewish interests, like Barbara Spector, who's sitting in Sweden with Paideia, the study Jewish studies in Sweden. They're being taxpayer funded, and it's their mission to bring in immigrants into Europe to destroy the homogeny of Sweden and Europe. And that's not my words. That is her words. Go and watch the clip yourself on YouTube. So don't criticize me for bringing this to your attention. Actually go and listen to what she says, and then, you know, make up your mind accordingly. Culture and religion is like so low-level consciousness, man. I'm like above that, and I'm gonna all live in peace and shit. Well, just because you don't consider other people to be an enemy, it doesn't mean that they do not consider you an enemy. If the tenets of conquest is within the religious doctrine, how are you gonna argue and try to convince yourself that it's not happening? One day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize that, okay, it didn't really matter what my attitude solely was. There is actually another party in this, and they have opposing interests to mine. So while you want to be in your New Age delusion and your paradise, you can just see how the world is going to burn. And at some stage, whether you like it or not, you have to say no, you have to speak up, and you have to draw a line in the sand and say, you're not going to go any further. This is it. And, you know, please don't mind the pre-programmed bot responses that you're going to get for beginning to talk about this kind of stuff. It's really hilarious to watch that, actually, the repetition from the mainstream media and educational system and everything else, specifically from people who claim to be awake and aware and, you know, against fascism and against tyranny. And supposedly they know about conspiracies and, you know, corruption and things like this. And they've just basically turned into a mouthpiece for the elite globalists. It's like all of a sudden they agree that people like Paul Western from Liberty GB over in Britain are hauled away because he's reading a quote by Churchill that happens to be critical of Islam. And now it's like, yeah, great, finally. Some of these people are getting the hard end of it, you know, because they really deserve it, right? So they kind of enjoy that the police state is there, because if someone is offended, they can just call the cops on him, and he's hauled away. All of a sudden, people kind of agree with that level of tyranny, because it kind of fits their agenda and fits their purposes. Unbelievable. Point being, one day you're going to wake up, and you're going to realize that your way of life, your family, your culture, your heritage, all the things that you didn't even know that you valued are going to be gone. And then you're going to miss them. What's ironic here is the very level of tolerance that have given you these opinions that you hold to begin with are going to be gone. They're going to be threatened by the new way of life in Europe and the West. But this is not how it's going to turn out, though. We've been way too nice for way too long. And the fact is, it's going to turn around. The tide is going to turn. It's already happening. More and more people are going to look at the elections in Europe here last week. What do you think that that's a reflection of? What is it? Are these delusional, hateful people that just can't wait to run around and kill people or something like that? Like these are crazy neo-Nazis or something like the media is trying to say, and there's a bunch of the other alternative media out there. This is just lies. This is just complete nonsense and complete garbage. These are normal people in Europe that are sick and tired of what's happening to their country, why they're being depleted financially. We never asked for any of this stuff. We didn't get to vote on any of these. We didn't get to vote on the wars that have been created in the name of the West by the global elite that's run by people who are internationalists. They're not, you know, Europeans or pro-West or anything like that. They're globalists, and they do not have our best interests at heart. This is how the global elite are bringing order out of chaos. This is the chaos that they're going to create so that they can offer the solution to this and bring us the order that they seek to, you know, have implemented. This means a massive militarized police. It means a police, you know, state overall with surveillance. It means all the things you can just dream and imagine of in a, you know, technological dystopian movie. That's what they want to try to achieve. And you guys out there who are like agreeing to half of this position because it, again, it fits your rainbow version of reality of, you know, so-called diversity and multiculturalism, it's not going to happen. The studies that have been done on this shows that not only segregation occurs, but actually there is an increase of insecurity. It's an increase of, you know, cultural conflicts and street-level violence and groupings and gang warfare and this kind of stuff. This is just what the elite wants. This is what they want. Don't you see that? And so all of a sudden, you know, if you're not opposed to that, you're doing the bidding of the global elite. You're actually making it happen because you're supporting it. So you have to start voting against it and speaking up against it. You have to start changing this tide and realize that, okay, you know, if you like the globalist wars, if you like what they're doing, what the elite is doing, and if you like what the way they're not only trying to destroy all these other countries around the world and Middle East and everything else, you know, the warfare politics run by AIPAC and these like crazy Zionists, if you enjoy that, you know, then automatically, of course, you're going to enjoy the second half of that agenda as well, which is to also destroy Europe and the West, all the Western countries. And they're doing it in the manner that you're seeing right now. Create wars, create conflicts, create, you know, migrants, create asylum seekers, create people who just want to flee from their conditions into other countries that have better, well, for the moment being, better conditions. It's going to crash the economies of these countries. The welfare state is going to go bankrupt. It's going to just create this complete and utter global chaotic, you know, scenario and situation. So it's up to each and all of us to take our own responsibility and improve our own countries wherever we're at, instead of disseminating and dispersing this all over the place and fighting the enemy in the right place, in the right position, doing the right things wherever you are, improving things locally, not running away from them and trying to do something else somewhere else, you know. Begin examining your own backyard. Look at what you can do around you to improve these things and prevent what it is that is happening and prevent the agenda of the global elite. This is the only appeal one can make to sanity, to rationality, to humanity. So please consider it. Thank you for listening.